This is Eugene Schwartz, and I want to say a few words of welcome to this lecture series. First of all, thank you for joining us and for your willingness to take part in yet another online offering. There are no shortage of them these days, and I know how valuable your time is. If you have already read the synopses of the 10 hours of lectures that are to come, you can probably tell that you won't be hearing yet another voice in the chorus offering anodyne assurances about the boundless trajectory of the North American Waldorf movement. When these five lectures were first given during the 2021 Holy Nights, most of our participants were classroom teachers and Waldorf parents. This time around, in February of 2022, many of you are pedagogical directors and faculty chairs, board members, administrators, members of training institutes and Waldorf school associations. In short, most of our participants are in positions of leadership in our school movement. I confess that I have a lot to say about the Waldorf leadership in these lectures, and some of it is quite critical. Thank you in advance for your openness to listen. I haven't come to bury you, nor have I come to praise. For the most part, I'm merely stating the obvious about the present state of Waldorf education in the United States. Very likely, the only reason that it is I and not someone else saying all of this is that I am unaffiliated with any school, training institute, or association. Not everyone can speak so freely. Indeed, the Waldorf movement right now is on a very precarious path, as it implicitly decrees that one's employment or position or membership in a leadership group should be contingent upon holding and expressing officially sanctioned views. Even if you have been involved with Rudolf Steiner's teachings for decades, I hope that you will listen to the first three lectures, though the material they cover may seem very familiar to you. You may notice that the themes of reincarnation and karma play outsized roles in all of these lectures. Ignoring these concepts or discouraging the discussion of pre-earthly life in the Waldorf movement has had the effect of shriveling the soul of our pedagogy, leaving only its shell or brand name. We cannot possibly understand the issues that we face concerning racism, gender identity, and the alarming rise of dysphoria among students and teachers without first exploring the domain of pre-birth experiences, at the very least. In Geographic Medicine, a remarkable lecture given in November 1917, Rudolf Steiner speaks of the concentrated power of the Aramonic double that is found in America, and particularly throughout the American mountain chains that run north to south across the Western Hemisphere. Nowhere on earth do Waldorf schools have to contend with the malicious might of Ahriman as in North America. And it's no accident that the headquarters of the Association of Independent Waldorf Schools lies so close to the Rocky Mountains. With this in mind, we could say that what happens in American schools stays in the American schools, and that the issues I will raise in the lectures that follow will be of little import to listeners from abroad. However, These days, Ahriman and his minions range far and wide, all over the world. And like American movies and music, what I point to in U.S. Waldorf schools will be coming soon to a theater near you. I want to mention a correction. When Lecture 4 was recorded in December, to the best of my knowledge at that time, Beverly Amico had resigned her leadership position and left the Association of Waldorf Schools of North America. I have subsequently learned that although Beverly is no longer outreach director, she remains in an OSNA leadership position as editor of the association's publication, Educational Renewal. Mea culpa, my thought was incorrect, or very likely, as Shakespeare's Henry IV said, thy wish was father to that thought. And here is a terminology, an acronym lexicon for our many international participants. The Waldorf movement in the United States is organized, or actually disorganized, into three distinct sectors. The independent Waldorf schools, most of which are affiliated with the Association of Waldorf Schools of North America, or OSNA, which I mentioned a few moments ago, constitute the largest grouping. We have yet another association, though, the public Waldorf schools, most of which have charters from state and local school districts, gather together under the umbrella of the Alliance for Public Waldorf Education, otherwise known as the Alliance. Although the first public Waldorf schools opened their doors more than 60 years after the first private Waldorf schools, their student population will soon surpass the OSNA member schools. And there's still one more to come, because there are the Waldorf home schools, mostly unorganized and unaffiliated, and certainly uncountable. These schools can take advantage in the United States of the tolerance and even financial support that they are afforded by many of the separate states and their school districts. So this is fairly unique in the world. Early in this century, the internet made it possible for homeschoolers to find and use Waldorf resources. While the recent COVID pandemic has expanded their numbers, their cooperation with each other, exponentially. So in the course of these lectures, I will be presenting the independent Waldorf schools as embodiments of Waldorf's past glories, the public Waldorf schools as embodiments of Waldorf's responsibilities to the present, and the Waldorf homeschooling communities as precursors of the future of Waldorf education in America. Well, happy listening, and please, please feel free to contact me with questions, comments, or even criticisms. My email is front and center on this contents page.